You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, Pastor Adam Salinas from Golgotha Lutheran Church in Wausau, Nebraska. Good morning, Pastor Salinas.
Good morning.
Good to have you,
Andy.
Oh, good to have you as our guest this morning, and looking forward to studying God's Word with you this morning and with our listeners. Tell us about your congregation, Golgotha Lutheran Church in Wausau, Nebraska.
Yes, we are a congregation. We have about 140 baptized members and about 117 confirmed members. We use the traditional liturgy and the divine service. We have communion on the first and third Sundays of the month, and we have non-communion on the second and fourth and fifth Sundays of the month. And we gather together around God's Word and sacraments, and we receive God's good gifts in holy baptism and in the Lord's Supper. And we're a great congregation, and we have farmers, and we have insurance agents, and managers, and accountants, and all different types of people in our church that comprise God's Christian children.
Now, where would we find did I get it right? Is it Wausau, Nebraska?
Yes. Yep.
Where is that?
That is in northeast Nebraska. It's between Norfolk, Nebraska, and Yankton, South Dakota.
Well, very good. Glad that you are there preaching God's Word and serving the saints, and the saints are telling the good news of Jesus in Wausau, Nebraska. We are studying John chapter 1 today, verses 1 through 18. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Yes, there is just so much information here, and I've started to read Dr. William Weinrich's Concordia commentary on it and started to take notes, and there's just so much here in the prologue. But the biggest thing I would like us to know is that Jesus Christ, He always was with the Father in the beginning, that He always was and He always existed, that especially verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that Jesus Christ always was with God, that there was never a time where He never was not a part of Him, that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were at the beginning of creation, and they will be also at the end of time when they call us home to live with them forever in heaven, that we always have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we always have that great verse in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that Word of God, that truly is the Son of God. And the Son of God, He assumed the human nature in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So there are two natures in Jesus Christ. There's the divine and the human, and they're inseparably joined in one person. So there is one Christ. He is true God and true man, always was and always will be.
All right. Well, we are studying John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, and we're studying with Pastor Salinas today from Golgotha Lutheran Church in Wausau, Nebraska. If you have a question or a comment on the text today, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org, if you have a question or a comment along the way, send us an email. We'd be glad to take a question along the way. Here we go. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's a lot packed in these first five verses, isn't there, Pastor?
Yes, there is. Of course there is.
So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It almost sounds like some of these things contradict one another. What is this, the Word was in the beginning, and it was with God, and it was God?
Yes. Well, first, we have here that the Son of God, He became man for us. And this is such a profound mystery for us that there is nothing more marvelous or wonderful than this for our very lives, that this eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, he took on our human flesh, and he was born, and he became man. He literally became our brother, and this is just absolutely awesome and marvelous. And St. John here in this gospel text, he introduces this miracle with words that call us back to the beginning. He writes, like you said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning, this recalls the first verse. This recalls the first verse of Genesis, where it says in the very first verse of the Bible that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what John is saying here is that the one he calls the Word, Jesus Christ, who is the Word in the flesh, he existed, like I said before, even before the world began, that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And here we have this mystery of the inner relationship of the Holy Trinity, that the Word, and we know in retrospect that this Word is referring to Christ Jesus, as he is the eternal Son of God, that he is the second person of the Holy Trinity, that the Word was with God, and this is what we might call a face-to-face relationship with God the Father. But yet at the same time, this one who is called the Word was God, that he is divine, that he is true God in his very nature. So there's just so much here, and it's just amazing and how this text all comes together. And even St. John, he goes on to say that, just that all things were made through him, without him was not anything made that was made. And we can also think back here to the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, where the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We can see here that the Holy Trinity was always the Holy Trinity in action, all three persons, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, he is hovering over the waters, God the Father speaks, and then there is light, and so the Word, the Logos, is active also in the work of, the Logos is active in the work of creation. That this is the one that John refers to as the Word, namely, the eternal Son of God, when he says that all things were made through him, without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Christ, in the beginning, he always has been true God, and that is great comfort for us as Christians, as children of God, to know that. That we have that Jesus Christ, he is the one who is always with us ever since the beginning of time.
He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All creation, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. What is this? What is the light of men?
Well, in the Old Testament, it's clearly taught that God gave life to his people through his holy word, that he gave them the wisdom and the law of the Torah, which are the light. But now, the incarnate word, Jesus Christ, he is that light of the world, that he has come to give us eternal life in heaven. And this is what the light of men is that Jesus Christ, he is our life. He is our light. And the incarnated word is a source of life and light because he is himself the life and life. And Jesus Christ is life and light as a teacher and rabbi whose teaching him has himself as its sole object. That Jesus Christ, he is the way and the truth and the life. And indeed, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to walk the way of him who is the way. So the Old Testament understanding of life, it involves movement and act. Life is that which is lived. So therefore, life, even eternal life, is not merely contrast to the physical life, but life is that existence that acts in accordance with the will and the purpose of God. So in this Gospel of John, the Greek word for life is zoe, that is the life by which God himself lives. So the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he possesses this life from his Father, and Jesus Christ has come into the world to give life to all, to give life to all humankind. And the this life is given when those who believe receive the Holy Spirit and become children of God. So therefore, Jesus is the life. He is the way that is to be lived. And that's why we can see the importance of this incarnation, which is already indicated in these verses. The incarnation is so important for us that by becoming flesh, Jesus Christ himself, he becomes the human form of the divine life. That this word, the word of God, is incarnate. It is a living will of God, and he speaks as his Father speaks and who works as his Father wills, and therefore reveals eternal life to us. So the light of life is Jesus Christ. And he is the one who has come for us to redeem us, to give us a new creation and holy baptism, and he is the one who we see as our eternal life, as our eternal light.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What does this tell us about this light?
That we who were once people of God, we were the world, we were once estranged from God, that we were once ignorant and blind to this life, that we were once ignorant and blind to the light. But now, since Jesus Christ has come into our world, that now he is the one who has revealed to us that he is the only way, he is the only truth, he is the only life for us in this world filled with sin and darkness. That Jesus Christ, he is the one who has overcome death, sin, and the devil for us. And he is the light who continues to shine, and he is the one who will never be conquered. So that's what Jesus Christ has done for us, that he is the one who has come to die on a cross for our sins, to go to Golgotha's cross, and to be nailed there for our sake and for our salvation. That he bled to death on the cross for our very sake. So there is nothing that can take us away from this holy and precious gift. For we know that Jesus Christ is always with us in our lives, and especially during these days and during these times in which we live. It gives us Christians and us children of God great comfort to know that nothing can separate us from God's love given to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. That Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word of God, and he himself has come to us as that light. And he teaches us that he is the light of the world, and that there is nothing that can separate us from his love. And like I said, Andy, that gives us great comfort, and that gives us great truth in knowing that we have a Savior who loved us so much that he was willing to give his life for us on that cross, on Golgotha's cross. And without him, we would be lost in this world filled of sin and darkness. But with Christ, he is our life. He is our truth, and he is the one who we look to for eternal life and salvation. And he will never be conquered. For he has conquered death, sin, and the devil for us to give us his eternal glory.
There was, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Who is this man sent from God?
This man sent from God was John the Baptist, and he prepared the way for Christ. And even John the Baptist said that he was not even unworthy to untie the sandals of his Savior's feet. And he was correct that Jesus Christ is our light. He is our true eternal peace. And that's what John the Baptist came to proclaim. He came to proclaim the Word made flesh. He came to proclaim that Jesus Christ was in the very beginning, that this was the Messiah who was prophesied and testified about in the Old Testament, that God's Son, he is the one who has come into our flesh. And but God, in his great love for us, he had a plan, that he had an eternal plan to save us. And he sent his Son into our flesh to fulfill the law in our very place, which we had broken. And John the Baptist revealed to us this Savior, Jesus Christ, that he would keep the commandments of God perfectly in our place. And then, although sinless himself, that Jesus would shoulder the burden of all of our sins and take it to the cross as our substitute. And because he is the very Son of God, his innocent shed blood is mighty enough to cover the sins of the entire world, including yours, Andy, and including all of our listeners, including the entire world, that we are forgiven now for Christ's sake. And this is the only way that we can be free from our guilt and overcome the grave, and that is in what the incarnate Son of God has done for us, that in him is life, and his life is new life, it is resurrection life. This is eternal life. And that is the light that is shining for us today that John the Baptist revealed to the people who came to him, that John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But John the Baptist proclaimed that one mightier would come, one mightier who would come, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that's what Jesus Christ has come to do. He has come to baptize us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to give us that new creation that we are in Christ Jesus. That when we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his most holy and his precious blood, and we are connected to Christ in holy baptism. And Martin Luther, he has given us a great quote here. He has said that we can study holy baptism our entire lives and never fully quite understand it. Mm-hmm. And holy baptism is such a precious and holy gift for us.
Anything else up through verse 8, Pastor?
I want to go back to the verse 3 once again, that all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That this indicates that Jesus Christ, that he is the Father's agent in holy creation. That this is a miracle that we have been given to in our lives, that we have become the children of God. That Jesus Christ has given us that right to become the children of God. That we who were born not of the blood, that he has given us that right, that not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but we are born of God, and we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus through our holy baptism. This is a great miracle for us in our lives, that it is all by God's grace that we have been given this free gift in Christ. It is all by God's grace. And not only was Christ born and lived and died and rose again to be our Savior, but the other great miracle is that God has given us the faith to believe in him, to trust in him for our salvation. And it is through faith in Christ that you and I become God's children. And like I said before, that we have been born again, that we have been born from above, born of water and the Spirit and holy baptism. And there in those blessed waters, God has made us his children, and he has joined us to Jesus Christ. And especially this verse reflects that all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. That Christ our Savior, that we are part of his holy and royal family, and he has come to be with us. He has come to be a part of us so that we could be redeemed and live in his eternal kingdom in heaven. And that inheritance that we have been given from Christ is everlasting life and a resurrected and a glorious body and a renewed and restored creation, that we are alive to God now, that now there is no more sin, no more sorrow, no fellowship with all the saints of all times and all places, that we are united in praise and worship around the throne of God and around the and of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And that is a great Christmas present that we have been given in our lives.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Adam Solinas from Golgotha Lutheran Church in Wausau, Nebraska. We're in John chapter 1 today. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. You can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to His Time.
Welcome to A Peep Behind the Scenes. In 1878, this book quickly sold over 2.5 million copies. Now, over 100 years later, it comes to life as a powerful audio drama. The story of the lost.
There's nobody loves me, and nobody never did.
And the good shepherd who brings them home.
For God so loved the world.
On the next Lamplighter Theatre.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Adam Solinas from Golgotha Lutheran Church in Wausau, Nebraska. We're in John chapter 1 today, and Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 9?
Yes, we are.
All right, let's go. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. So the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Pastor?
Yes. We have here that Christ made a satisfaction for everyone, justification, that even though not everyone is saved, but Christ has made satisfaction for everyone, which is universal justification, that salvation here requires the gift of faith that holds the Christ, that although Jesus Christ came for everyone, not everyone trusts in him for their salvation. And we pray that those who don't trust in him for salvation, we pray for them that they would come to receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in their lives, so that they can also enjoy the free gift of eternal life in heaven that Jesus Christ so desperately wants to give to all people. And I'm especially very, very strong on the life issues here as well, that they just had the Life March in Washington, D.C., and hardly any of the news media reported, hardly any of that coverage about the Life March in D.C. And that's very troubling, that this liberal news media that we have today, that they don't cover, you know, important events like that. But God loves all children, and we need to protect especially those children who that we believe as Christians that life begins at conception. And Jesus Christ wants all people to come to him and receive his gifts of life, salvation, and mercy. And like I said, I'm very strong on the life issues, and God wants all of his children to be protected and to be saved. He wants all people to come to him and to receive his good gifts. But unfortunately, there are those who won't receive this good news to their detriment. And that's why we pray for those people, that God has taught us to love our enemies, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we want all people to rejoice in the gifts that God gives to us. And especially here in verse 12, it says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become he came the right to become children of God, that Christ authorizes us to become God's children by grace through faith in him. And that's why we have missionaries in the LCMS who go out and spread that word to other countries so others can hear about that free gift of God's salvation given to us in Christ our Savior. That we don't want anyone to suffer or die in the depths of hell, but we want all people to come to receive Jesus Christ in the flesh. We want all people to receive his eternal glory and his peace, which only he can give. And that's why we spread this word of God to all nations. That's why it's so important to spread this word and let the Holy Spirit do its work. Because by ourselves, we cannot come or believe in Jesus Christ by ourselves, but it is the Holy Spirit who gives us the ability to receive and to believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him, but it is the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us, he enlightens us, and he is the one who gives us the knowledge and the truth that Christ, our Savior, has been risen for our very sake.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. But the world did not know him, including his own people. He came to his own, and they did not receive him. Pastor?
Yes. Especially here, we have that in Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man, that he truly is present everywhere for us. And we have this great knowledge to know that Jesus Christ, he has come and he has revealed himself through his holy and through his precious word. And we know that there is one Christ, that there is true God and true man. And when Christ, when he took on our flesh, he truly tabernacled himself to us, that his glory has been revealed among us, his holy and redeemed people, that God's glory was manifest in Christ for us, but especially in his submission on Golgotha's cross for our lives, that in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, he is the true and he is the only Son of God. So the witness of John the Baptist, therefore, it serves the witness of the entire Gospel of John, whose purpose is that those who hear or those who read what is written in this book, that they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, who is anointed of the Spirit, who is the Son of God. So the Baptist, John the Baptist, is depicted as a first Christian confessor, in our lives. And one of the chief themes of the Gospel of John is that of the new Israel, that Jesus Christ is a new Israel. He is the authentic Israel, is Christ himself, that he is truly the true Son of God. And those who are united with him in the baptism which he gives, St. Paul expresses this basic conviction of the first Christians in Galatians chapter 3, as he says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." So in baptism, the Christian, the child of God, we come to know God, or rather, we come to be known by God. That indeed, St. Paul proclaims that in baptism, the Christian has received the spirit of adoptive sonship, that by this Holy Spirit, that those who have become sons of God, that we can call upon God as our Father, that we are new spiritual, that we are in Christ Jesus, that we have been made, that he has created us in our lives, that we have been created by God, our Heavenly Father, and we were created in God in conception. We were created by God to be his, sorry, go ahead, Andy, sorry.
But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Anything else up through verse 13, Pastor, before we go on to the last section?
No, let us go ahead and go on to the last section.
Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Let's go to a question from a listener. Let's go to Tim in St. Louis. All right. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Pastor, I heard you say you're strong in the life issues. I'm glad to hear that. I am too.
Yeah.
I learned in my local Lutherans for Life chapter that many forms of birth control can cause abortions. And I just think if we're going to say life begins at conception and we're pro-life, we ought to be consistent. And I know Randy Alcorn's book gets handed out at the seminary, and he discusses the issue in the book. And I was wondering if you knew anything about that. So,
thanks for your call, Tim. You. Pastor, your thoughts on that?
I would say that life begins at conception, and you know we need to protect that human life, and God wants, he wants us to, protect that human life. And this is kind of I know this is a hard question, for a lot of people and a lot of pastors, that whether people should use contraceptives or not. But it's kind of, up to the, this has been, at seminary too, we had this question. We actually had debate on it, whether, married couples should use, contraceptives or not. And it's just one of those things that it's a very hard question, I think, for a lot of Christians to tackle. I would say that, that a couple, I've heard this argument from other, Christian professors that, if a family has had five or six children and, should they be using, contraceptives? And I don't know if you could say it's up to the couple or not, or if you say that, God wants, us to, to have children and, that is his, good gift that he gives to us. I mean, it's a very, hard and tricky, I won't say tricky, but it's a very, very tough question for us as Christians to answer in this life. So, like I said, I've heard from other Christian professors that, are for using contraceptives and other people that are against it. But does he want to know my perspective on it? Is that what he's asking?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would say that, what I've learned and what I've heard, that it's kind of, a decision, for the couple. And, that they shouldn't just willfully, not reject God's gifts of children. But, if it's in their decision that if they think that what's best for them and their family situation, that if they think that they should use, contraceptives, then, that's kind of between the, I would say that's between them and God. That's what I would say.
All right.
That would be my answer to that.
Thanks. And thanks for the call, Tim. Let's take a look at this last section. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. With just about a minute and a half to take a look at this last section, Pastor, verses 14, and I think for me, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Those are kind of the two key things that stick out for me. With just about a minute, a little over a minute, Pastor, your thoughts on this last paragraph?
Yes, especially here. That especially that we should, what am I trying to say here? There's a thing here, that the glory of the Word of God is incarnate for us. That, this verse 14 is a very key verse, especially throughout John's gospel here, that by taking on human flesh, that Jesus Christ he comes into the world that he created, that he graciously and miraculously, he brings us deliverance from our spiritual darkness that has blinded us. And he authorizes us believers, as I said earlier, to become God's children. And that those who don't receive Christ by faith, they remain in that darkness. But Christ, our true light, he has overcome the darkness for us, and he promises to give us his forgiving grace to you and to all people. And he does this for us out of these miraculous words, that Jesus Christ has always been at the Father's side from the beginning of time. And we have that great truth that nothing can separate us from God's love given to us in Christ our Savior. And we want all people to come and to rejoice in the gifts of Christ that he gives us, in his word and in his sacraments of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper, that he wants us to receive these gifts by faith. And he doesn't want any one of his created children to live in darkness. He wants all people to come to this light, and he wants all people to receive this knowledge of truth. And even as Christian children, as baptized children of God, we want all people to come to receive his gifts and to rejoice in the gift of eternal life in heaven. And that's why we have churches. That's why we have, you know, missionaries to go out and to spread this word of God, because we want all people to receive the gift of eternal life in the new heaven and the new earth, and to behold the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who is our true Savior and our Lord.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Adam Salinas from Golgotha Lutheran Church in Wausau, Nebraska. Pastor Salinas, thanks for being our guest pastor, helping us study in John chapter 1 today.
Yes, thank you.
God bless you and all the saints there at Golgotha Lutheran Church in Wausau, Nebraska. Coming up in just a little bit, historically speaking, with our friends over at Concordia Historical Institute, you're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.